Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
So I don't like thinking in my comics.
Get him, Aaron, get him.
And misleading our country into war.
Pushed me into buying a bunch of Superman to piss Jake off.
Abusing all the power that we gave him.
One Mr. Middle Spindle.
Shipping all our money out the door. He's the man who hired all the criminals.
Bizarro, hello.
Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week.
And I'm Ben, the sunshine that powers Superman and the baby brother. This is the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers get together to talk about Batman, DC Comics, Batman. And all fun shenanigans.
Yep, all Batman all the time.
Woo!
Yeah.
He was in this book, at least.
He was.
He showed up basically to say, I told you so, and then he left.
That's how I like my Batman, short and concise. Yeah, so before we get into the book we read, which was Superman President Lex, what's been going on in y'all's geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books or what do you think you're doing,
nerd?
Stop spending
get those nerds!
Geek. I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
We have the potential, the Brotherhood and our older than 13 children.
And husband.
And husbands. and wives. To go attend to see the new Flash movie this week, hopefully, as a pre-screening. So, very excited for that coming up. I've been watching all the trailers and trying to not find too many spoilers, but digging into the trailer scene by scene, and have got myself pretty darn excited for the movie.
I have not watched much. I've been trying to avoid watching things and hearing things, but yeah, my two are excited to go see.
Yeah. I'm with you, Aaron. I've seen a trailer. I think the Super Bowl released one, and I'm excited, but I'm also excited to be surprised.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch... You've watched all the Snyderverse movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
I think so.
Justice League and...
I didn't see the last Wonder Woman. I didn't see that one, but everything else I think I watched.
Okay. Yep. I've been trying to decide if there's anything worth rewatching this week. You know, I think... 89 Batman's always worth watching, so that might make its way in to
that
the DVD player while I'm doing something else.
Yeah, Toby's been binging the Flash show, so he's like trying to just watch as much Flash as he can right now. I was like, just for fun. I don't think there's going to be any tie into the TV show, but who knows?
Well, they did a tie into the movie. Ezra Miller showed up in one of the Flash one of the big crossover episodes.
Oh,
at
did
some
he?
Point. Yeah,
near the end of the series. Yeah. That's a good idea, Aaron. I might throw on an episode or two sometime in the next couple days. But
get excited about some Speed Force-y stuff. I think that the show is ending. Has it the last episode already aired?
I think last week.
Okay. Oh, did it? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, last it looked week or this like week. They tied the show up pretty nice. They had all the major villains, or at least the speedsters, all coming back to face off. And
nice.
They kind of gave him a
the
big
last,
heroic.
Like, five episodes or five seasons, but I might watch the finale just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we watched like the first two seasons and then I stopped, and I don't know. Just there's so much to watch on some of those things, and like taking a break here and there is good.
Yeah, we got pretty far with Flash, maybe the first five or six, but I'm horrible at long form TV shows, so yeah, it was hard.
There's a lot of episodes.
A lot of episodes.
Speaking of going to the movies, I think I've mentioned to you both that my husband and I got a movie pass for the Alamo, what the hell is it called? Alamo Draft House, which is a theater chain. They opened one up recently in St. Louis. It's very nice. It's the whole, like, push the button, order the food at your seat kind of situation.
Push the button, Max.
Yeah, but for $20, you get you can see a movie a day for 30 days in a row, so that's fun.
Is it a different movie every day?
You can see any movie you want there for 30 days.
So how many screens do they have?
A bunch, eight.
Oh,
so they show some old things, they show some new things. We're going to see like a cult classic next week.
What cult classic?
Pink Flamingo. It's a gay thing. We're doing that, Pink Flamingos, and then, but there's like new stuff, so we saw...
I never would have known that was a gay thing by the title.
Pink Flamingos.
I would have thought it was a pool hall.
Oh, yeah, there you go. But yeah, so we saw Mario, we saw Guardians, we've seen BlackBerry, just like... Why not? Like, it's nice. Fun. And yeah. if you don't
and
buy
$20 is not bad. It, that's like one IMAX ticket at Ronnie's, basically.
Yeah. And if you don't buy food every time or drinks every time, then you're not spending that much. So
yeah. No, that's not too bad.
But the last one we saw was The Little Mermaid. And I am a sucker for Disney.
Yeah.
Remakes, of course, have their issues. I really enjoyed it. It hit what I wanted it to hit, and the stuff they added was actually really good. So
really?
I was pleasantly surprised. I went in wanting to love it, but being like, this is not going to be good. And I was laughing. I was crying. It was a good movie.
So do you have part of that world?
I was
experience?
Immersed.
Do you have a favorite of the Disney remakes?
Oh, before we saw this one, I would have said Aladdin. This one's up there, but I need to see it twice before I say that.
I definitely haven't seen them all, but I really liked the Jungle Book remake.
Fair. The Jungle Book was really good. I have the least attachment to the original Jungle Book, so it's a different vibe.
That was like one of the first ones, right?
Yeah, it was pretty early. Action. And Jon Favreau directed it.
Okay.
Aaron, are you thinking of the old one where he's like, I am not a man, I am an animal. Very Penguin.
No, when you say that, all I can think of is the Penguin in Batman Returns.
Did I get the line wrong?
No,
I feel like he says the same thing.
Yeah.
He's at a party and he's wearing...
So I remember the cartoon, and then there was like a live... I remember a live action one like...
There's been a couple live actions.
Okay, so maybe I don't remember then.
I am not a man! That one was I was still a child when that movie came out. But the one Jake's talking about is like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't Brandon Lee, was it? It might have been. Or maybe it was the guy who played Brandon Lee. Oh, no, I don't remember. But that one was more of a Tarzan story where Mowgli is taken to like English society and tries to be a grown person. But the problem with the remake that Favreau did was they cast Scarlett Johansson as Ka. Is that Ka? Is it Ka in Jungle Book?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that damn snake is damn realistic and damn huge. And...
He's like, her voice is so sexy. And she's so scary.
I'm darn. I'm just going to close my eyes and listen.
It was a weird casting choice. But Aaron, yes, Jake, you were right. That is a very good one. I forget about it because I didn't have an attachment to the original Jungle Book, so...
I try to watch Beauty and the Beast because I did love that one as a kid, like hardcore, really liked that movie, and could not get through the remake. I turned it off, I'm pretty sure. So.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know I've seen that one in Aladdin, and I'm pretty sure I saw the Jungle Book one, but it's been a while.
I actually own the Jungle Book one. I liked it so much.
I just remember when Aladdin came out and all the like Will Smith like stuff, and then he wasn't as bad... In it as I thought he was going to be. Definitely not Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a ballsy choice because that's almost an irreplaceable character.
Yeah.
I like the route they took with Will Smith because you can't replace Robin Williams, so I think you shouldn't try. I think you should do something very, very different. And so the Will Smith performance was closer to the Broadway genie.
Oh, okay.
So the Aladdin Broadway show, which is of course inspired from the movie, but they like added a bunch of shit. That genie is very different than Robin Williams, and Will Smith is closer to that.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I think if he'd done a really bad job, it would have been really a slap in the face to the character.
Yeah. Yep, would have been.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Anyway, I made something for you, Ben. Jake, yours is in production and yours is massive. And I'm going to give it to you in pieces because I think you're going to want to assemble after you painted.
Okay. All right.
Aaron is holding a shoebox.
Yeah, it's breakable.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so light.
It's yours is glued together, and you can paint if you so desire.
Well, thank you. Oh, I'm nervous.
Oh, it's like wrapped in
Well, no, I tried to package it so that it didn't break on the way over here.
Oh, that's awesome. I might paint this. That is very cool.
Holy shit, that's huge,
this
too.
This is
yours is like double the size.
Tim Drake 3D printed statue. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah.
His cape's all blowing. Yeah, we're going to paint her. She's cute. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to break it.
No, it's all. It shouldn't break. It's all glued.
How long did that take?
It took a while. I mean, everything's individual.
Oh, so like the cape is a piece.
The cape is a piece.
Okay.
The arm that's holding, the hand that's holding his staff.
Bow staff.
That is connected with the hand, so that's one piece. The arm is another piece. His head is a separate one. The legs, I think, are two pieces each. And then the base.
That's awesome. Thank you. It's crazy. So, like, you've shown us quite a few things or gifted us quite a few little cute things. It's wild to me every time how light they are.
Yes.
Like, I'm always expecting them to be heavier.
It's pretty light. There's not a lot of infill. So, there's a few. I had to reprint multiple times on some of it just because, like, when it has supports around it, I can't always tell, like, where the support ends and the actual structure begins.
And you like cut off his nose.
Something like that. Or like I'm pulling it off and it snaps. Like the boots, I had to redo those like each once because they snapped when I was like pulling them off. And there's like pieces on it. But
that's awesome. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm excited to see whatever Jake's getting.
It's massive.
Do you have are there like dimensions and stuff when you start? Like, do you have an idea of how big things are going to be?
Yeah, because of the software you use, you download the file and then you like for that it was probably 15 pieces or whatever. So I see the files, and you have to import each of them separately into the program so that it'll slice it, so that you can then put it in the printer. So some of them you can it's like a visual software, so you can actually see like it has like the shape of the bed, so you see how much space it would take up when it's printing.
That's cool.
And it tells you like hours on print.
Nice. So you have all the information.
Yeah,
there.
Pretty much.
Nice. Well, thank you. That's awesome.
Very
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
I will offer you some guidance if you decide to paint it, Ben. I will.
Oh yeah, that was a Jake will paint this.
Not be available. Not be available for that one. Apparently, I have a massive one coming. I'll have to paint for myself.
No, it's cool on its own. It's like a light gray. So yeah, he might.
It's like a
like
stone.
Stone-ish.
Mm-hmm. It's a stone filament, so you could print or not or paint.
He'd go right next to your gargoyles pretty well.
I know. I'm looking around the room, being like, oh shit.
That's
you,
it
Aaron.
For a while. Yeah. You guys are done after that one.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's awesome. All right, you guys want to talk a little bit about this book we read?
Yeah.
Yes. So we read Superman President Lex in the trade paperback form. This is a story from the early 2000s that covers a bunch of different Superman stories. So it has a bunch of little one-offs. It has some little short stories. It covers different like two, three issue runs from different Superman books. We've got some JLA going on in here. We got some Batman stuff going on here. And this is all about Lex Luthor running for and winning the presidency, because why? He wants more attention than Superman gets, and he's jealous and tired of being second fiddle to Superman. So I've been really, really looking forward to getting to read all of this and discuss it with you. What did you guys think?
Yeah, Aaron, I want to make sure you get in first. Did you know that this was something that happened for Lex Luthor?
I did not until you guys like hinted at it in the podcast and told me that that's what we were reading. I had not heard of that or had been following Superman when that was going on. Ben, you said he wants more attention than Superman. So it basically, the first like four pages is him walking around the city or doing his daily stuff and just seeing like Superman emblems and news articles, and he's talking to somebody and she's got a Superman emblem tattoo, and he's doing all the things, and he just gets pissier and pissier. And every time he sees the logo on something, he's just like, I'll just run for president. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. And
that's how he comes to his decision is like, fucking sandwich cart has Superman sandwiches and no Lex Luthor lunches, and I'm going to.
Yeah. I want to be in a Happy Meal. I had never read that little story before, and it's all speech bubble-less. Like, it's all just visual, and I thought it was so good and just such a funny, like, oh, haha, that's why he did it. But at the end of the day, he is all about his we're going to talk about a lot of real world things here. He's all about his ego. And right. So I was like, no, I buy it. I buy that you actually just ran for this because you're like, why not?
Right. And he is smart enough. I mean, he's obviously a genius in everything he's done. And he is smart enough to play the system and to play on people's emotions and play on like what will get him the attention he needs, and
a master manipulator.
And there's many times in here where he's like, it's almost like I planned that, and you're like, as you're reading, it's like, yeah, because you fucking did. Like, you did plan on getting shot, you did plan on this happening.
And I like that they don't really tell us, you just see with the smirks and things, and knowing the character, they're like, oh yeah, no, he just offed that person, and he just did this and jumped in front of this bullet. Like, he
Yeah.
So let's get the elephant in the room out of the way. According to John Byrne, who is the guy who did the revamp of Superman after the Crisis of Infinite Earths, right? We got year one for Batman, and I think we read the Man of Steel trade paperback on the show to review Superman coming about, the retelling of his origin and what everything. So post-crisis Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
According to John Byrne, as noted in an interview to the Daily Beast, of course Donald Trump was our model.
I hate it so much.
So, I know Trump ran for president prior to winning, so I'm wondering if this is based off of, I don't remember the year, but he unsuccessfully years prior before he ran this time and won. I'm wondering if this was written after he had made that first attempt.
I don't know. I don't know the dates on all that. But that would not surprise me. Yeah. I actively remember this all coming out back in the day. I was like, oh, that's so cool. A villain, like, getting to run the country. And I was just... It was one of those like, oh, ha, 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 that's so funny. It's so as realistic as a person coming from outer space and being raised on a farm and being able to lift things and jump, you know, and fly around. Like, that was as realistic. And then it actually came true. I was like, why can't we also get the aliens? Like, why is this the, like, storyline that actually happened in the world?
The next day, Ben's outside in the rainstorm with a lightning rod and running shoes on. He's like, come on, hit me.
So, if you've listened to any of this podcast, you know how I feel about certain things. And if this offends you, I don't care. We have 10 listeners. Lex Luthor, to me, would be a better president. Lex Luthor was not running on racism and making fun of mentally handicapped people. Lex Luthor was not being a trash human. He was being like, I'm not running for as a Republican or a Democrat. This is how I fix Gotham. Let's do the same with the whole country. He actually, like, was doing things. Yeah, he was killing people and stuff, but it's politics. Like, that happens. I would rather have had Lex Luthor than 2016 real life.
100%. And he embraced the fact that his hair was not good, so he got rid of it as opposed to Donald.
That's what we learned today. I hurt my throat. I was drinking when you said it, Aaron, and I was like, I have to shrink. Sorry.
There is so much good storytelling with how he's able to manipulate the press to the way that he wants his story to be told. We've actually get a glimpse of him contacting Cat Grant, the, you know, kind of counter to Lois Lane in the Daily Planet, and telling her to edit this biography that she's about to show about Lex Luthor, and which was kind of a fun way for us to get a little bit of a fill-in about Lex Luthor's background, quote-unquote, because it's fake news, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's oh, God. He's literally editing and saying, well, take this out because I don't want them to know this about me and put this in. And it's like, Jesus.
And let's do it live. It goes on in 5 seconds.
Yeah. So, a couple important things. He asks Pete Ross, who was Clark's good friend growing up in Smallville, to be his running mate after he's already announced that he's going to run.
Right.
And Pete has some history. I think they said he was a senator.
He was senator of Kansas for a while.
And Pete in here is also married to Lana Lang, who was Clark's high school sweetheart. And she knows about the Superman of it all. And so,
yes, but I don't believe Pete does.
No, I don't think he does.
Correct. And this coming out in the year 2000, you know, so this Pete Ross is a good old boy from Kansas. He's white in the story that's been retconned a few different places. And I feel like nowadays they would be very like, we have to, you know, my running mate needs to be something other than me. And here it was like the small town boy and the big city person. So he's playing to middle America and he's like, okay, well, we just got the middle states. Like, he's being very smart with all his choices.
Right.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of the story from Lois's perspective, which I enjoy. And she's like, Clark, you need to go visit your mom. And so he flies to Kansas and like walks in on the like announcement of Pete Ross running as the vice president. And it's like, oh, Clark Kent. I was like, oh, this is so messy. Yeah. And it's just Lois narrating all of it.
So you touched on what happened with Lana and Lex, because that wasn't clear in here. Do you guys know?
Yeah, I didn't.
Because there's some history when Clark visits her and she's like got some secret, like, was it like sexual abuse? Because that would play pretty well with Donald as well.
I honestly don't know.
There was definitely, there were too many threads that were kind of all leading into this story that I couldn't pull on all of them to figure everything out. But it sounds like she says that she was kidnapped at some point and Superman saved her from Lex. But there's a lot of, like, you know, more happened than just a kidnapping and a ransom or something, it seemed like. She's got a child, so I don't know if there's supposed to be some kind of implication of rape or something there.
I don't know. What I liked about it was the conflict, because there's the obvious, like, Lana, what are you doing? Why are you letting your husband do this? And she's like, first of all, you're not my husband. Second of all, trust Pete, like,
to do the right thing.
Yeah, to, like, he is a good guy. So Lex is terrible, but if Pete gets there, and if someone, she basically is like, hey, if someone offs Luther, then Pete will be a good president. I was like, damn, Lana.
Yeah, she says that exactly, basically. Yeah, she does. And Clark's like, oh, okay.
I think she says if something were to happen to him, but.
Well, it's all the I don't know that word. It's all the planning and the plotting that Luther has that makes him so powerful. Like, he sets up an assassination attempt. Some random woman that then the press is locked away from being able to talk to takes a shot at him and he survives, and that gives him the headlines and it buries any other bad news that might be coming about. He becomes this hero or this survivor, and that it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, I just looked up Donald Trump's first run for president was in 2000.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so this came out when that was happening.
Yeah, so this,
that's awesome. So, and it's terrible.
It's terrible and scary and, yeah, all those things.
The comic books are like, well, this is a great story because this will never actually happen. But in this world, it could.
So, Ben, did you read this when it came out? Did you know Young Justice showed up to help Superman in whatever they were doing?
You know I owned that issue. Yes, yes, I did. So I read parts of all of this. Like, I didn't read all of it, but I had a smattering of the Superman stuff. And so I never sat down to be like, let's read whatever. But a lot of it, I was buying any Superman that was Ed McGuinness at that point, just to make my dear brother angry. So Young Justice shows up. We get a lot of the big DC universe, and they're there, but we never get their opinion on what's really going on. They're helping with a crisis of Aquaman basically flooding Metropolis, because Aquaman is a leader of all of the water in the world. And so I really enjoyed the Aquaman stuff of showing how Luther is like he was upset with Luthor, but then Luthor ends up getting Aquaman on his side, and it's Aquaman versus Superman, which was cool.
And later, once he's in the position of president, he actually holds a press conference with the JLA minus Batman and Superman.
Uh-huh.
And most of them are kind of like turned or arms crossed and like kind of off to the back, except Aquaman. He's standing pretty much right next to Luthor, and he's kind of going to be maybe become the liaison because Luthor is opening up trade with Atlantis. He's recognizing this sovereign state as being a real contributor to Earth, and he's playing everybody in this way. And but shit, like maybe he's actually going to do some good things and as president, and you know, next to all the evil shit that he's also going to do.
Right, right.
So I am really regretting not putting a Superman story in earlier in our timeline that this deals with a ton of. It had no Batman, and it really only affects Superman stuff, but it changed Metropolis, right? Like, they talk about the B-13 virus a lot here. So there is a storyline called Superman Y2K. Y2K. It came out right
during...
What a
disappointment that was. I was really hoping shit would shut down and melt down. And no.
Well, I don't need another shutdown, thank you.
Superman was definitely trying to take into some current events because that's what happens. Like, when the Y2K virus, or when the Y2K switchover on computers happens, Brainiac is there. And he infects the world's computers with this Brainiac virus that eventually turns Metropolis into a... So it's a Brainiac from the future, and he's bringing his technology to the present, and he uses the weakness that the digital state is in during Y2K. And Luthor is given all this praise by Metropolis for not only saving Gotham, but saving Metropolis and utilizing the B-13 virus when really he was trying to do it all for personal gain and use, like, take Brainiac in to use his power and all that.
So all that B-13, is that, like, related to all the tech that's underground and all that stuff?
Yeah, so Metropolis, like, prior to the Y2K B-13 virus was... It was an advanced city, but just because of Luthor and the other money and stuff, and it was a brighter city than Gotham. But this actually, like, advances the technology in all of Metropolis, like, a century. So, like, cars are floating, and baby carriages are hovering, and, you know, the police have mech suits and all this kind of stuff. You see a lot, like, in the Injustice video game, Luthor running around in his green mech and purple suit. Mech suit. That's kind of where that came from. He gets his mech suit in that storyline. And so Metropolis really becomes the city of tomorrow, and that's kind of the world that they're living in right now. And that's one of the other running points that Luthor uses. Not only did he save Gotham, but he brought Metropolis way advanced technology.
Okay. What did you think of the Lex recruiting Talia to be his, like, head of LexCorp?
He manipulates her too. Yes. Yeah. He wild. He gets, like, these assassins to come after her as if they were her father's assassins.
He kills, like, 20 people in this building just to get her to, like, agree. Yeah.
She's just chilling on her couch, smoking cigarettes and eating popcorn. She's really enjoying her life as a normal person. Yeah. And Luthor's like, come run my company. She's like, no, I don't want to do that. And he's like,
you
okay.
You never know when you'll be attacked, so you may as well be on top.
And his henchwomen are, like, there to help her out. I'm like... She's not stupid.
Well, she points it out. She's like, of course that was you doing this. And he's like, why would I do that? And she's like, I guess not.
But I guess I'll help you anyways with through the suspicion.
Like, now, I'm not sure, but I'm hoping that Talia is smart enough that maybe she's also playing Lex a little bit, right?
I would hope.
I think she knew. She's like, well, you manipulated me, but it's kind of fun, so I'm down. Like, I think she knew.
Yeah, because he can't have his because when you're president, you can't have the personal connections to companies and stuff that you're supposed to give
you're
up.
Not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. So having Talia run LexCorp is his solution to that.
Hmm. You know, the giant tower with his name on it? Yeah. We get something random and fun in here. We get Bizarro number one from the Emperor Joker storyline.
Yes,
finds
I
his
like
way
Bizarro.
Back. He kidnaps Jimmy Olsen and hands him his golden shovel. And he's like, you're a grave digger, lad. It was very silly. But the art was beautiful, so I didn't care.
So is it just that it's just that Bizarro carryover in from that storyline, right? There was no like
Superman comics are wild, Aaron. Like
I'm finding that out. It's just obviously bizarre. So what was it with the Gravedigger? Is he like gonna kill Jimmy?
That was Jimmy's identity in the Emperor Joker universe. So this Superman was plucked from it, and so he saw Jimmy and is like, "Oh, here's your shovel. Like you need this because you're my pal." It doesn't connect anything. But
yeah, we should definitely point out that the trade we read, President Lex trade,
had some random things in there.
It's 14 issues of books, except it's just the parts of the books that deal or set up storylines having to deal with him becoming president.
Correct.
And into the inauguration, and then that's about it. We don't get a lot of his tenure as president or anything here. We just get the build up to it. So we could obviously do a whole podcast on all the crazy Superman stories that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to read all those issues. I thought this trade was a good sum of the parts.
Oh, yeah. It was the...
But it's left a lot of questions. Like, what the fuck is Bizarro here? Where were my other questions?
Well, Superman throughout the whole thing while Lex is running and all this is like, trust the system. Everything's going to be fine. I trust the people to make the right decisions, blah, blah, blah. And then he has the giantest temper tantrum when Lex actually wins, which... And then it's like...
Breaks an asteroid or something.
It's a huge temper tantrum.
A dead moon, like, circling, like, Saturn or something. He just, like, flies through it.
Well, and then afterwards, there's all these brief little, like, issues. They're, like, 2-3 pages where he, like, goes to every JLA member being like, so, about that election, what'd you guys think? And I'm like, stop bitching and whining. You could have controlled some of this.
So that is one issue. It's called What Do You Get the JLA for Christmas? And it's broken down into all those different stories. And so I thought it was fun. There's different writers and different artists for each one. And it's him bitching and venting to his friends. And that was cool to me to get to see a little bit. Like you get Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern, who's the like millennial, like the youngest of the group. He's like, oh, I vote, but you know, I don't know if I need to. Like they're acting the way.
Yeah, talking about like youth voting. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They like really cover some real stuff. And yeah. I thought each character was handled believably. Of course, some of the art's going to be better than others, but then each segment ends with Superman giving them a present because it's like the Christmas issue. Just stupid. Aaron, Superman is fun. Yeah.
Well, and his presents were amusing that he gave everybody. Like,
yes.
He gave Batman a magnifying glass.
No.
From Lois.
Lois gave Batman because it's the only way he knew that Bruce would accept the gift.
So what did he give everyone else?
He gave
Green
Lantern some ring polish.
Yeah,
oh, that's right. It was jewelry polish.
Tube socks for Flash.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
Chocolates or something for Martian Manhunter because he loves candy.
Yeah, chocolates and rubber bands for Plastic Man. And then a little metal hammer for Wonder Woman.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
But why did they make out?
I think it was a hug. It was not...
That artist be doing something with his hugs. Yeah. She had her leg popped. There was sunbeams coming out behind them. Their heads were awfully close.
Yeah, it did kind of look like they were kissing.
Smoochy, smoochy.
Again, Superman comics are chaotic, and the continuity is insane.
Well, the Christmas episode was great. That we got a lot of the feelings about the politics and everything from the other JLA, finally. But I love when he goes to see Batman. They basically don't talk to each other until he gives him the gift and says this is from Lois. And then pretty much all Batman says is, when the time is right, we'll take him down.
Yeah.
Because we did get Batman in this book. This wasn't just not Superman, even though this affects the whole DC universe. Batman building up the nights before the race is done, or is it the final polling night? It might be.
It's the night before his victory speech, so that would be the election night.
Okay, so it's the night that all of the votes are coming in.
All votes are coming in, counted. Sometimes it takes longer, which we've seen in real life, which is frightening. But Batman visits Lex and demands the kryptonite ring back. Now, how did Lex get the kryptonite ring?
I can't find where he got it back. Okay. I don't know if it was just they just plotted it here to put it back with Lex, or
I might actually have. So there was during when Superman was blue, there was a storyline with the ring and how the ring didn't have power. That might have been part of how Lex ended up getting it back. So I know the ring's been around, but we haven't read that stuff, so I don't remember.
Yeah, I tried to do some tracing and finding like places that just tell you where the ring appears
so
is really hard.
Would it be maybe did Talia take it when she was like stealing plans and was in the Batcave?
I like that.
Sure.
And then that gave it to Luther.
I like that. Let's go with
Why
that.
Why not?
Yeah, okay. That's my headcanon since
Until
we don't
we
know.
Find out otherwise.
All right, fair.
But he basically tells him, you can either be president or you can have the ring. You can't have both. And
Batman throwing a hissy fit.
Yeah, basically, if Batman says that to anybody else, he's going to get what he wants. But Luther doesn't bend.
Luther's like, I'll use all my resources to figure out who you are and take you down. And
hey, then, here's a thought. Why doesn't Bruce run for president? He's got enough money.
I was going to say because he's a douche, but then that just makes me think of real life, and that makes me sadder.
I was like, he could do it if Lex could do it.
Yeah.
Maybe, but...
He's distracted.
He's made so many decisions to, like, tarnish Bruce as
yes.
a person.
That's what I would think. If they dug into the real truths, something would come out that...
I think he'd be opening himself up to a lot more than a grandfather clock can hide.
And I think if the threat had come from Luther it's like, I will expose you. I have the CIA. I have everybody at my disposal, the FBI. Everybody's going to come for you. Bruce would have been like, I don't care. Give me the ring. But then he threatens Nightwing and Robin and Batgirl. And he's like, they will be just as exposed as you are. And Batman's like,
curse you.
And Lex is like, what are you going to do? Punch me? Like, you have no power here. I loved it. I love when Batman tries to make... And I'm like, Batman, you've got to have a better plan than just threatening the new president of the United States, right? Like, you are the man with the plan, and your plan is to go in and threaten him.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Didn't really work out
no.
too much.
We get pretty much everyone here. We get some Supergirl. We get Steel, John Henry Irons. We also...
Star-Spangled Girl shows back up.
Yes, we also get Steel's niece... Who gets to...
Natasha,
who will eventually be important. She gets to hang out a little bit with Stargirl. And I thought that was an interesting choice. Stargirl's original ongoing series was happening at this time. So they were putting her a bunch of places to try to help sell things.
Gotcha.
And she was created by Jeff Johns, who didn't do any of these books. Because I was wondering, like... So this was an early story she's in that wasn't written by him, which I found interesting. Aaron, I don't know if you heard or remember. She was created as like a memorial to his sister who passed away.
I don't remember.
So this character is like written as her. And so it's like very near and dear to him. So I was surprised to read something with her that wasn't by him at this point. But she's there, and obviously, like, Star-Spangled Kid, like, it's very, like, go USA.
Yes.
Like, her outfit is Americana colors with stars on it. Right. And so I thought that was, like, okay, that makes sense to have her here for a political storyline.
Who is this Professor Hamilton guy that shows up a couple times?
So...
With Steel and...
He's in some of the movies.
Long answer.
He runs... It's not Star Labs. It's... What's... The
Cadmus?
Cadmus. No, it's not Cadmus. Maybe
Cadmus?
It was Cadmus.
Cadmus is a thing in Superman.
Yeah, that's the cloning.
They mentioned
labs,
it
though.
Here, too.
Yeah,
they did. It might have been Star Labs.
So he's the one when, in the retelling and the reorigins and everything, when he helps young Superman figure out his powers, his limitations, he's the kind of the scientist go-to buddy guy. And he was... presumed dead or gone for a while, and now he comes back with a giant mech arm.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, where does this dude get this hand? It made me very much like Winter Soldier's arm. I was mm-hmm. like, what is this?
So. Yeah.
Something this trade did very nicely, like it had a, I don't know if you guys looked at it how much, but one of the first pages in the trade is a who's who, which mm-hmm. I thought, because you could pick this up and be like, oh, a story about Luther becoming president, or oh, Superman, I like it, but have not read any other comics or any idea. And so it has like a breakdown of the main cameos in here.
Oh, I didn't read any of that.
That's
well,
fine.
I would have told you who Emil Hamilton is.
Oh, well.
That wasn't me coming for you, but I like that the book did that. I think trades that you can just jump in, like if it's not like number one of something,
yeah, no, that
I
makes
like
sense.
A catch up. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a previously for individual
yeah,
characters.
Yeah, no, that's good. Any other thoughts on this book?
Yeah, so I think we need to talk about where Superman gets to by the end of the, at least the issues that we read here. So he makes a big deal about, well, I'm going to do a silent protest and I'm not going to show up at the inauguration. And that's going to be, he's like, I'm for America. I'm still going to, you know, protect other people, and blah, 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 but I'm not going to support Luther. So I'm not going to be there. And they introduce this new bad guy, this earthquake monster thing that mm-hmm. comes out and wants to kill Luther for ignoring suicide slums, the poor towns of Metropolis that weren't upgraded. And Superman is there. He's just mm-hmm. hiding, and he's there to protect America's president. And I know that's going to be a big deal for Superman's stories for a while, is that he is feeling the obligation to his country that he is a part of, that he has mm-hmm. to support Luther, even though he knows this guy is evil. He knows he shouldn't be in office. But Superman is such a Boy Scout.
He is. This very much a Boy Scout in this one.
Yeah.
I appreciated the Martian Manhunter bit where he's like, this isn't even our planet. Like, why do you care so much? And that was a good, because they're both aliens. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool to see that connection or that difference between them. Like, Martian Manhunter's a good guy too, but Superman is the best guy.
Well,
to
and
a
it's
fault.
As mm-hmm. it's happening, Lex is just reveling in it. He's got this evil-ass grin on his face, and he's like, yes, let Superman protect his president. Oh, you evil shit.
Yeah, that was pretty true.
And he knows that Superman won't do anything, that he'll try to find some legal way to bring him down.
Correct.
He won't make a move against him because of now he's in a position of utmost power that Superman has to respect. And I love that for these characters. Like, you asked if Bruce Wayne became president, the Joker doesn't give a shit. He'll just go into the White House
right.
and try to kill everybody, right?
Right,
like,
yeah, he'll just do it his thing.
But for Superman, you know, truth, justice, and the American way, like, for that to be taken from him.
Which is no longer the moniker on that. But
right.
when this came out, it was. It is now truth, justice, and a better tomorrow.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Oh.
Truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. Sounds like a sign-off on a like a radio program.
It's truth, justice, and a better tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm not mad at that. But that just shows how much things have changed uh-huh. since 2020.
Yeah. Interesting. When did that change happen?
I want to say that was what they gave John Kent, Superman's son, when he becomes Superman from Superboy, so a couple years ago.
Okay.
I want to say his thing was truth, justice, and a better tomorrow.
That makes sense. I like it.
And before we move to reviews, I want to talk briefly, and it may just be me, but you guys can jump in, about how the rest of the Daily Planet is reacting to all this, especially Perry White, mm-hmm. who runs the newspaper, and his feelings towards it. I really enjoyed that, because when it's finally announced that he's won, there's a lot of like intermixed stories and different issues,
right,
like
right.
not knowing what part we're at, but it's Perry announcing it to the press room that it's been called, he is now president, mm-hmm. and he's got tears in his eyes, and he's like, I remember the day that JFK was shot, I remember Nixon mm-hmm. Resigning, and I remember the Challenger blowing up, and you know, as newspaper people, we
actual
have to
historical events,
right? As newspaper people, we have to report the news, and that's our duty, no matter what. And like, because that's the other side of Superman, not just the big blue Boy Scout, but the man of press and being objective when relaying news. I thought that's just such a fascinating story for these characters.
Yeah, it was. I think everyone's reactions seemed very realistic.
Yes. Because Lois is like, I'm going to do whatever I can to bring this shit down.
But they do mention that she's got one story that she has to bury, and she didn't use it yet. But it was mentioned just to remember the deal she made with Luther about it.
When did we get that from her? Because that's been mentioned on this before.
So it's
I thought
when,
it was in No Man's Land, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's when Luther saves the planet. Mm. He
did you want to say the bugle?
I did want to say the bugle. I have to remember which daily it is. She makes the same deal with him.
Mm. I'm sure that won't come back to bite her in the ass.
I was glad that they reminded us of it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. It was a good little foreshadowing, I'm sure.
Yeah, because wouldn't you want the press on your side to bury any story that you'd like not brought up if you were
yeah,
the president?
Evil.
Evil president.
Right.
I enjoyed that we got a bit of characters being like, oh, well, it's not going to happen. And other characters like, oh, I don't know. He's really powerful. That was, it's just so real.
Yeah.
And obviously I've talked a lot like Superman's fun. I like the Superman books because they are hopeful. I like them because they're colorful and they are usually fun and a little bonkers bananas. This is why I like Superman stuff and the whole super family. And then to have a book that is like truly the most depressing thing in the world. Yeah. I loved the juxtaposition of it. Yeah. Because when this was written, it's like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And now I'm like, oh,
It's not so funny anymore.
Right.
Reviews?
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible! Horrendous! I'm offended! I'm appalled! Right.
That was
awesome! Right.
Whoa, yes.
Yes.
Right. No! I liked the trade collecting the important pieces and be able to move through the story pretty quickly. There were a lot of, you know, me falling down rabbit holes. I'm like, oh, what the hell's going on with this thing? And then right. I'm picking out books off my shelves, like starting to read pages that I don't have time to be doing. But that just makes me love the DC universe and how connected it is. And I think for this character, it's such a big moment. And it has bigger effects on the DC universe, and that's why we read it here. But for Superman, it's absolutely essential reading. And I think it's very important to the early 2000s DC landscape.
Yeah. I enjoyed, but also did not enjoy. Mm-hmm. I thought it was well done. I liked the collected, seeing the kind of the progression of how it was played out. And
no, I want the attention. Look at me.
Yeah. Attention, please. So I did like it. I thought it was well done, knowing that it's not satirical. You know, what we had in our world is not satirical. It's kind of, it maybe is a little different than if things didn't pan out. Like, I think Lex, though, is brilliantly evil in this and planning his next moves and is ahead, you know, staying one or two steps ahead of Superman and Batman at this point. So I'm curious to see, you know, how this plays into the greater DC universe as we read and move on. Definitely an interesting read. If you are more leaning left, you will get very agitated and angry. If you are more on that other spectrum, you probably like, yeah, I love it.
You probably don't read Superman.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It should be mandatory reading in like political science classes. It should be mandatory reading for Americans because Lex Luthor is evil, so you need to read this and understand he's the bad guy.
Right.
We are telling you he's the bad guy and you're stupid.
Right.
I loved it. I'm very, very glad that we got it in here. It's definitely necessary for DC continuity. There's a couple issues that I don't have, the separate ones that I was like, oh, this art was cool, this issue was good, that I want to go find now. So I'm going to try, I'm not going to get the trade, but I'm going to try to piece in a couple single issues that I missed. The art, as always with Superman, is going to be hit or miss, but it didn't detract me. Like, I was never like, oh, I don't want to read this. Like, I kept going through it. It's a pretty fast read for as thick as it is.
Yeah. And Ben, as you're collecting issues, and anybody out there, it's not podcast material. Like, I can't show you the visuals, but go, if you don't believe the creator, John Byrne, that he did this off of Trump, go look at the unauthorized autobiography of Lex Luthor, and then look up Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal.
Yeah, I have look that. I have that biography, and it's identical. Yeah,
yes.
I haven't read it yet, but I have that book.
Have Trump's book?
No, the unauthorized.
Oh,
Lex biography.
Oh.
Yeah, the covers are. It's an homage to the Art of the Deal book.
Really?
Yeah,
that's so funny.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. What's next, Jake?
Well, we're gonna leave President Lex for a little bit. And we're going back into Gotham. If you guys are reading along with us, we are going to read the trade paperback, Batman, Officer Down.
Officer Down.
Yeah, it's real cheerful, real happy stuff.
Great.
We're just reading the trade paperback?
Just straight up trade paperback. You can find it. It collects multiple ongoing Batman family issues, one issue of each. They all kind of had one Officer Down issue that tells the whole story together.
Cool. Okay. That doesn't sound dangerous or bad for somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It'll be good. everything works out. It's just fine.
Great.
What did we learn, Aaron?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No. It's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Oh, so many things, Ben. He embraced the fact that his hair was bad, unlike Trump.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. Oh, God. For the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben. Vote early, vote often.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Jake. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
Old self-bitties, cleanse the city's